Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Today we're finishing up Mark chapter 7. We're taking Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. It's the second section of a doublet, or two incidents, where Jesus performed a healing ministry. And both are ministering the same thing. In the first part of the chapter, verses 1 through 23 of chapter 7, we study the opposition to the ministry of Christ. That opposition came from the religious leaders who confronted Jesus over him and his disciples not keeping the tradition of the elders. And Jesus emphasized it wasn't about religion. It's not about tradition. It's not about keeping the commandments of man. But the real issue is the heart. Jesus quoted from Isaiah and said, "Even from years gone by until now," he says, "people worship me in vain because it's all by religious tradition. Our heart's not in it." Jesus said he wants our hearts. He wants to come reside within our hearts, our spirit, the center of our being. But then, in comparison to this opposition in verses 1 to 23, in verses 24 through 37, we have the theme of faith, the opposite of opposition, the theme of faith. We saw last week in verses 24 through 30, the healing, the curing, the deliverance of the Syrophoenician's daughter. If you notice, if you turn to page 7 on your study guide, the last verse of this section gives the theme for both incidents, 24 through 30, the deliverance of the Syrophoenician woman, her daughter, and now the healing of the deaf and mute man. It says, "And above measure they were being amazed, saying, 'He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak.'" He does all things well. Whatever it might look like, however we might evaluate things, the Lord does everything well. The word well means right. He does everything right, no matter what it looks like. And last week we saw the introduction to faith. That faith, genuine spiritual faith, comes from God. It originates from God. It is produced by God's Spirit. It is measured out by God for us to do the things that He would have us to do. And so we saw this woman come to Him in verse 24. This woman from Tyre and Sidon. But it says in verse 24, interesting, good notes for today, "He was desiring no one to know, and he was not able to be hidden." We'll see today that the Lord wanted to do everything he did privately now. This is not a public theatrical event of healing. This is the Lord ministering to individuals about their private response and relationship to Christ. So it's interesting that he was desired for nobody to know that he was in the area of Tyre and Sidon, which is on the Mediterranean coast. He traveled from the Sea of Galilee. He traveled west to the Mediterranean coast, to the cities of Tyre and Sidon. These were Gentile cities. This is Gentile territory. In fact, it says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, that this woman was a Canaanite, along with everything else. She was a Gentile. She was Syrophoenician by race. She was from the land of Canaanite, from Canaan, and was a Canaanite, one of the enemies of the Jewish people. And it says in verse 26, this woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by race, and she was asking him in order that he would cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her in verse 27, "First allow the children to be satisfied, for it is not good to take the bread of the children and throw it to the little dogs." We know in Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, that by children he meant the Israel or Jewish people. It's not good. First of all, the children must be satisfied, so that's the priority he's giving, and not take the bread of the children and throw it to the little dogs. This would be the house dog. And he's putting her in that category. See, all this has to bounce off of that phrase in verse 37, he does all things well. We would think that he might offend her. But she answered and said to him in verse 28, "Yes, Lord, for even the little dogs under the table eat from the crumbs of the children." So we see the genuine faith, first of all, that comes from God, does not quit. Genuine faith that comes from God persists and is continuous and does not quit. If I quit trusting the Lord, it's because I was leaning on my own faith and trying to produce my own faith and not on the faith of the Lord. If I think he's doing something wrong or I hold something against the Lord, I can quit. It's my own faith. It's my own religious approach that I'm exercising and not the Lord's. So first of all, the faith that comes from God does not quit. Even if it's told no, or first the other children must eat first. Secondly, faith that comes from God accepts and submits to the ways of the Lord and what he is doing. She was submissive to the Lord, telling her that his Israelites and the Jews must come first, and then the Gentiles, which are presented as the little dogs. So in verse 29, he said to her, "On account of this word, go, the demon has gone out of your daughter." The faith that she exhibited in submission to his will. In Matthew's account, chapter 15, verse 28, Jesus said, "Great is your faith." So she was motivated by faith, moved by faith. And having gone away to her house, she found the demon had gone out and her young daughter had been laid upon the bed. faith that comes from God does not quit, but persists. Faith that comes from God accepts and believes and trusts in the way the Lord does things, no matter what it might look like to us or how it might look to us. Now for today, verses 31 to 37, the curing of the deaf and mute, a man who couldn't hear. And because he couldn't hear, his speech was impaired. He was mute. It says in verse 31, and again, having departed from the regions of Tyre and Sidon, he came to the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the regions of Decapolis. So last week we saw that he traveled to Sidon and Tyre from the Sea of Galilee. That's traveling west. And then he went north from Tyre to Sidon. Now he's going back east, back to the Sea of Galilee, to the region of Decapolis. Decapolis was on the southeast side of the lake. The region was encompassed by 10 cities. That's from the where we get the word Decapolis. Deca is 10, and polis is the word city. This is the area of the 10 cities. These cities were the center of Greek paganism. In going to this area, he was returning to Gerasa, where earlier he had healed a man possessed by a legion of demons, as recorded in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. So the region knew all about Jesus, and this man was brought to Jesus. Verse 32, and they bring him, a deaf man, impaired in speech, and they are urging him in order that he might lay his hand upon him. So in verse 32, Mark used an interesting Greek word for the term impaired in speech. The word is mogilalos, and it literally means difficult speaking. It is only found here in the New Testament, and once in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 6, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. This translation is called the Septuagint. By using this word here, Mark is connecting this incident of healing with the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 7, which previews the glories of the future messianic kingdom. Isaiah 35, 1 to 7 says, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of God. Strengthen the weak hands, make the firm the feeble knees. That's quoted in Hebrews chapter 12, by the way. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearfully hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing. And there's our word in verse 6. And the tongue of the mute will sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. So what the future messianic kingdom is going to be when Jesus rules on the earth, one of the things it's going to be is the deaf will be able to hear, the blind will be able to see, and the mute will be able to speak plainly and correctly. And so, Mark, here in Mark chapter 7, verse 32, brings out this messianic promise that Jesus is displaying here in the healing of the man who is deaf and mute. So they come to Jesus, verse 32, and they present to him this deaf man who's impaired in speech, again, because he hasn't been able to hear himself speak. He doesn't know how to talk. He doesn't know how to pronounce. And they are urging him in order that he might lay his hand upon them. Now, verse 33 tells us a very interesting situation. Verse 33, and having taken him away from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears. That is, Jesus put his fingers into his ears, and having spit, implied he spit on his fingers, he touched his tongue. So he took him aside from the multitude, and in a moment, we're going to find out why. The Lord did not want this miracle to be seen by the crowd. Remember, just a few minutes ago, in the review from last week's material, I pointed out to you that when Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon in verse 24, that he didn't want anybody to know about it, and that he was hiding from people, because now he was concentrating privately on his disciples to show them what it's going to be like in ministry and to manifest himself, Jesus, to these people privately. And I think it's interesting, Jesus came to a point where he no longer did public miracles. He did them privately. So the Lord did not make a spectacle or a theatrical event of his ministry to people. He took this man aside. The man could not hear and he could not speak. That is, his speech was impaired. So he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat probably on his finger and touched the man's tongue. The Lord didn't do every single ministry in every situation the same. There are some people who like to drop formulas and say, just pray this prayer and do these certain things in every situation. The Lord met every situation differently. Why did he put his fingers in his ears and spit on his finger and touch his tongue? It was for the man. It was a form of sign language to let him know exactly what he was going to do. The man had no idea what was going on or what he was going to do. And so he stuck his fingers in his ears and spat on his finger and touched his tongue. Now the man knew what he was going to do. In verse 34, after Jesus put his fingers into his ears and he spit and touched the man's tongue, and having looked up into heaven, he groaned and says to him, Ephphatha, that is Aramaic for be opened. So Mark gives to us the colloquial language of the day in which they spoke as what Jesus told this man. Remember, he took him aside privately and said, Ephphatha, and that's Aramaic for be opened. Verse 35, and immediately his ears were opened, and the bond of his tongue, that's the literal translation, his tongue was chained, his tongue was bonded. The bond of his tongue was loosed, and he was speaking correctly. So his ears were opened, and the impairment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke correctly. Verses 36 and 37, the command of Jesus. And he commanded them in order that they should tell no one, but as much as he himself was commanding them, exceedingly more abundantly they were proclaiming it. So he told them not to say anything, but he and the others went on proclaiming it even the more. The more he commanded not to do it, the more they did it. Verse 37, and above measure they were being amazed, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. So then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. Do you see the Lord why the Lord didn't want to make a spectacle out of this thing? Why he didn't want to do this? Can you imagine, with it probably 30 days, there would have been 5 books on the bookstore? How to heal the deaf and heal those who are impaired of speech. Somebody would have written a book and put it into formula form. You see, people walking about and spitting on their fingers, touching everybody's tongue and putting their fingers in their ears. Everything the Lord did, he is the creator of the world, and his word opened his ears and loosed his tongue. But he did it privately, not to make a spectacle to the multitude, because the multitudes could not be obedient to the command. The Lord did not want to make it a circus or a theatrical event. He wanted it to be private. He wanted it to be for this man and for the disciples. A lot of times when the Lord moves in our lives, it is privately. It is for us. He is ministering to me about a certain situation. Have you ever had the Lord move so greatly in your life and just really something that just would call a miracle, and just see the Lord move so greatly, and you go out and you try to share it with other people because you're so enthused, and it's just like, wow, let me share with you what the Lord has done for me. And people just look at you with a blank stare. It doesn't mean anything to them. It's something that happened to you privately, personally. And to them, it means not the same thing. They just can't get into it like you do. And they can't get enthused. It doesn't minister to them, except they are happy for you and say that it's nice that it happened. The Lord does all things well. That's what verse 37 says. That's the theme of these last two miracles. Last week, the deliverance of the Syrophoenician's daughter, and this week, the healing of the deaf and the mute. That's the theme. He does all things well. He does all things correctly. The word well means he does it right, in spite of the fact we evaluate things differently. He's doing it right. He's not out to make a spectacle or a theatrical event out of him moving in our lives. He does all things well. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's not trying to impress anybody, and is particularly not trying to draw people to him as a miracle worker or someone who can multiply food for them or make them rich. He is out to increase and enrich our faith, our trust in him. He does all things well so that we can trust him. Verse 37 says that they were astonished beyond measure, saying he's done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Yes, he does all things well. In our perspective, we get confused and we don't understand. Sometimes it seems like he doesn't answer. Sometimes it takes so long for him to answer, but he wants us to be persistent. He wants us to receive the priorities. He has things that he wants to accomplish in our lives. In our circumstances, in our situations, they're beyond us. Sometimes it has to do with the people that we live with, or our loved ones, or our families. Sometimes people work with, go to school with, in company with, as they observe our faith in Christ. It's what it's all about. It's a ministry to them as we trust the Lord. We're not in position to approach the Lord with an attitude of, Lord, if you loved me, you would do this a certain way. And if you don't do it a certain way, I won't trust you. That is not faith. The Jews are God's chosen people. They were chosen to bring us the gospel. Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 11, that we have been grafted in. It is only out of God's grace and mercy that we have been grafted in and given the opportunity to serve him, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Our position, only out of God's mercy. Faith receives God's way and his will in answer to our situation. It is the way he wants things handled. He has a reason for everything that he does. And the way in which he ministers, sometimes it is for us privately, and he will take us aside. And it is for our faith and for our ministry. Sometimes it will mean something to other people, and sometimes it won't. Sometimes he'll tell us, don't share it with other people. The multitudes were disobedient. The more he commanded them not to tell anyone, the more they went out and told, because he did not want to make a theatrical event out of it. He had a reason. He has a purpose. Faith is personal. Faith is persistently believing God's will is being done God's way. And it's beyond me. It is accomplishing more than we could ever understand. He wants us just to go and to trust him, and that he does all things well. There's no such thing as the Lord doing something half-heartedly or in a shabby way. That the Lord is not on the job, and that he's not answering, that he is not in control. That is impossible. So no matter what our evaluation of the situation is, everything is working out according to God's plan, His timing, and for His purposes. And He wants us, you and me, to trust Him. Let's close with prayer. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for the blessedness of Your Son and Your provision through Your Son for us. We thank You that in Your plan and scheme of things that You have included us, to the Jew first, but then to the Gentile, and that You allow for us and bless us with the crumbs from the table even. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that Jesus does all things well, that His plan is perfect, that His timing is perfect. We thank You for that. We pray that You teach us to trust the Lord with the faith that comes from God, that is consistent and persistent, that doesn't quit, and that accepts and receives all of God's plan as He wills to make it happen. We pray that You'd help us to be aware that most of the Lord working in the lives of His people are private. Some things are meant to be shared as a testimony and shared with others to help bless them. But other times, it is not meant to be shared. It's personal. The Lord is concentrating not on the theatrical event nor the miracles themselves, but the Lord is focusing on developing faith and trust in Him. And we thank You for that. We ask for Your blessing now on our hearts and minds as we understand more of Your ways and how You do things. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.